Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
What is up, everybody? Welcome again back to another episode of the Snug Wrestling Podcast. I am Edgar. I'm the host. The Snug crew is all here. Welcome back, BT. We missed you, man. Good to have you back.
Good to be back. I'm sorry that I took a break for some of the hypersensitive fans that are like, oh, where's the Australian handsome cunt? I've really missed him. I just needed to take a bit of a break because there's been a lot of bullshit that's been going on recently, but I've got that behind me. I've had an amazing time watching Monday Night Raw. Let's dive straight into it.
Well, actually, let's talk about that for a little bit there, BT Knight, because you are right. There has been a lot of crazy shit happening in the WWE. The WWE went from releasing a lot of people's favorite wrestlers 1 week, and then we fast forward like days later, and then they announced that they're bringing back Alberto Del Rio, one of the wrestlers that was like blacklisted from WWE. And it's just like, they're just basically like, they don't even give a fuck about pissing people off anymore, which is fucking crazy. Because yeah, the reports are now that they're going around there saying that Alberto Del Rio somehow signed again with the WWE and is just like, what the fuck is going on? What world are we living in here, fellas? Just really quick, I want to hear your thoughts about what do you guys think about this whole thing with Alberto Del Rio? What do you guys know about this? Because I didn't really look too much into this, at least not yet. But what do we know so far about Alberto Del Rio signing with WWE? Does anyone have any info?
Info is lackluster, but my thoughts on this is simple. I will believe this shit when I see it. I do not believe it. Because of the fact that I still think that Paige will eventually come back. And the problem is, Paige will not come back if Del Rio is there.
Yeah. She just... Yeah, I saw an interesting tweet earlier, and I'm going to see if I can find it so I can read it really quick, because we got an interesting comment. Shout out to Wayne Stanfield. Says he's technically only signed to AAA. However, I saw something that may say otherwise here. Here we go. So, a Twitter account by the name of El Rico tweeted out, so they're just signing new deals, so they're under the WWE banner. And was Del Rio part of that group that signed a WWE deal? Dave Meltzer responded with, yes, new contracts. Alberto has signed with the WWE. And another Twitter account by Ernesto Ocampo said, many fans, especially in the U.S., are assuming that by buying AAA, WWE is also acquiring the contracts. But aside from the fact that the sale hasn't been finalized, those contracts are of no use to WWE, as WWE's contracts are legally distinct and include multiple provisions and clauses, such as exclusivity, intellectual property rights, and termination conditions that AAAs do not address or enforce. That's why new contracts are replacing the existing ones, sorry, which tells me Alberto Del Rio has indeed signed with the WWE.
I think that if he signed with the WWE, I think maybe a package deal with AAA, as in, hey, in a part of our sale, if we sell to you, we'll sell to you, but we don't want any of our guys being left without a job. So if you, as a part of condition of the sale, mm-hmm. you have to also then take all these guys so they aren't left without jobs. That being said, when you hire them, then you have full recourse to do whatever you want or will with their contracts. I'm thinking that if they're going to do the right thing here, because Alberto Del Rio's law shit, all the legal stuff was still going on up until last year, in the last year, like September and stuff. I don't even think it's fully over yet. But after what he did to Paige, after what he did to the girl he was with after Paige, as far as I'm concerned, if Triple H and Nick Khan want to do the right thing here, you need to terminate his contract as soon as it's clear. Because as far as I'm concerned, you don't need, if we're all about moving forward and pushing past, how can you get rid of Vince McMahon for all he's done? How can you excommunicate Hulk Hogan 3 million times? And you saw the reaction he got on the Raw on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you'll bring in this guy. You know what I'm saying? So, and this is a problem. Let's not forget, the last time he was there, he put his hands on someone in the production staff backstage. So he's always had these issues.
Yeah.
He's a loose cannon. I don't think he would gel with today's WWE, nor their locker room ethics. So, and I want to see Paige in WWE again, too. I say fire him as soon as you get that contract signed.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is really looking forward to or is saying, yeah, you know, let's bring back Del Rio. However, we got an interesting comment here by Lead Authority Wrestling. Shout out to them. Thank you for your comment. It says Del Rio was never convicted of a crime or for being racism. I believe they meant for being racist. But I'm afraid that the wrestling fans are way too smart nowadays. They know what's happening. They know what Alberto Del Rio has done. If he comes back to the WWE, I have a feeling he's going to get the Tessa Blanchard treatment that she's getting over in TNA.
If I could respond to that comment.
Yes.
Vince McMahon wasn't convicted of a crime either, but we all know he's guilty.
No, he's talking about Del Rio.
Exactly what I was just about to say.
He says he was never convicted of a crime, so they shouldn't hold against him. Vince wasn't convicted of a crime yet either. But if a thousand people say the same thing, kind of starts leaning towards the truth now, doesn't it?
Hmm. Okay.
We don't need that. We don't need that culture back in WWE.
What about you guys, Toxic, Tommy, BT? Are you guys, do you guys have any thoughts about this? Or do you guys want to actually see Del Rio in the WWE?
I said no. I don't want him.
No? Good riddance, huh? Fair enough. BT, what about you?
Oh my god. I need to get this off my chest. This is going to turn into a fucking rant, and I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But I've been needing to get this off my chest for a while. Mm-hmm. Just fuck this past week. Because we have just had, oh my god, every bad decision that we have conjured up in our brains, just, it comes to life all of a sudden. We've had how many releases of useful talent that you don't fucking trust anymore? Braun Strowman, I've let that go. I've let that go. Okay? As much as I love Braun Strowman, and I wanted to see him with Alexa Bliss and the Wyatt Six, because there was a story there that they could have gone with. He looks like it was his time, because he looks unfit. He looks unfit. Mm. He does. His legs look like they've blown out. Mm-hmm. It was inevitable, right?
That's a good point.
But fucking Dakota Kai, The woman that should, and I use that very emphatically, should have been the first ever women's IC champion. Not Lyra. The only reason they put it on Lyra was so at some point they could make her the new Becky Lynch. And then, surprise, they made her Lyra 2 belts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's, because we kind of already went over, I know you didn't have a chance to, tell us what you thought about the releases because you weren't actually here, but no, you have a good point. Like, they just let go people, and one of the main reasons that they're letting people go is because they're bringing in all these new people, right? People like, right, you know, that we talked about already. But if one of those wrestlers or talents is going to be someone like Del Rio that was blacklisted, yeah. it's kind of like, oh boy,
a slap in the face.
That's
fucking yeah. people you just released.
That's putting
hey, yeah, especially can't have a job, but that jackass can.
That's yeah. putting a lot especially, of heat in the company.
Yeah, especially when it comes to somebody like him that has a dark past and has a very controversial fucking situation that has happened mm-hmm. with Paige, a former WWE superstar. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mentioned this privately, but I'm going to say it again. Maybe it does ring true. It feels like Vince McMahon is back, metaphorically, because every bad decision that happens just, like, it always piles on with another bad decision. You know what I mean? Like, we've had so much needless booked bullshit happen at WrestleMania that didn't need to happen. Like, it's WrestleMania, for God's sake. There's going to be a lot of mid-card stuff and things like that that's needless in that, right? But I don't know what it was. It was just this year, it just felt bullshit. I don't know how else to say it, but...
I mean, you're right. I mean, there was a lot of criticism going into WrestleMania and also for the show, and now this is all happening. But let's move on to some good news. Let's move on to some more positivity that might make you rethink those comments, BT, about Vince McMahon being back. Because tonight, Monday Night Raw was a lot better than last week's Monday Night Raw. This is the Monday Night Raw before Backlash in Omaha, Nebraska, where we were expecting to see Io Sky versus Roxanne, Otis versus Rusev, Gunther and Pat McAfee face to face. It was also announced a new match for Backlash, Penta versus Dominic Mysterio for the Intercontinental Championship. And I'm going to start off with the main event, and I'm going to ask you guys to please, please let me cook on this, because the main event was such a treat for the fans in Omaha, for us watching at home, because it was Jey Uso versus Seth Rollins on a Monday Night Raw unexpectedly, which this match I feel like had the potential to be a pay-per-view match. Honestly, I didn't expect to see Seth Rollins challenge for the title anytime soon. Last week's Monday Night Raw, the entire Raw revolved around the Seth Rollins, Paul Heyman, and Braun Breaker storyline. And the show wasn't that good. The first video package that played on this Monday Night Raw was a video package from them. So I was thinking, okay, well, this is going to be just like last week. The entire Monday Night Raw is going to be built around this. Okay, let's see what they do here. Jey Uso then comes out. You know, he does his Heat entrance. And while he's coming out, I'm thinking, this is the World Heavyweight Champion, but he's not getting featured as the most important thing on this show. It's the thing with Seth Rollins, Braun Breaker, and CM Punk. And as soon as I said that, who comes out to interrupt Jey Uso? None other than Paul Heyman. And that's when I'm thinking, okay, now they're going to cook. Because now you're going to involve the main story on Raw now with the World Heavyweight Champion Jey Uso. What I didn't expect was that they were going to do it on that same episode of Raw. Paul Heyman pretty much challenged Jey Uso. We're going to let you pick your match versus Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is next up. Seth Rollins defeated Roman Reigns and CM Punk at WrestleMania. He deserves a title shot. Makes sense to me. Jey Uso said, all right, then let's do it tonight. Boom. Big pop. Now we have a main event for this Monday Night Raw. We come back from commercial break. Paul Heyman is backstage and he breaks it down for Braun Breaker. Jey Uso, he's distracted with Logan Paul. Seth Rollins just came back from winning one of his biggest matches in his career. We have the upper hand here. It's our time to take the title from Jey Uso and take it all. So Jey Uso, under these circumstances, this main event match is so fucking interesting. And then we all saw the match. We all saw the outcome, which we'll get into. That shit was fucking amazing. But this was the opening segment for the show. And I got really excited for it. And if let's just get into the match itself. Also fucking great. CM Punk ended up coming back after Mania. He helped out Jey Uso. Sammy was out there. This was a fucking fire ass Monday Night Raw, I gotta say. But Blood, like always, let's hear your thoughts about this whole thing that we saw with Jey Uso. What do you think we're gonna get out of this?
Well, first things first, I gotta say this might have been one of the best on the mic promos from Paul Heyman I've ever seen, because that man went in and he went 150 miles an hour, the screaming, the rage. It felt so genuine, so real, so actually emotional. Like, he was really angry, really frustrated. And I thought that whole setup was a chef's kiss. It was perfect from the get-go. I also love it because it's Paul and Jey, the original three Bloodline members when Jimmy was still out on injury. These are the two next to the one. And so this has a lot of layers to it. Backstage time, it's awesome for the segment. Paul, you know, they set Jey up to, you know, to basically accept it through hubris and ego. We get to the main event. First things first, the only issue I have with all of this, and it might be small, but it's important, is that when Heyman says, well, Jey's too distracted by Logan, but Seth's focused 100% on Jey Uso. And I thought, I would buy that Jey is distracted by Logan if he had actually been here tonight on the Go Home show.
Quick thing, Mr. Blood. We got a comment saying Logan attacked Jey Uso after Raw. Shout out to the Big Bill.
After Raw tonight, he attacked him?
According to the Big Bill on the comments, yes.
Well, it would have been great to have seen that, you know, on TV. Like, the rest of the world probably would have liked it because the rest of our feed got cut. So as far as it's concerned, that goes to a whole other gripe I have about them doing angles off air that are important on a Go Home episode to the PLE. But I would buy it more if Logan had actually been here tonight to have an interaction with Jey, maybe backstage before the match. So then we could buy that he's too distracted by Logan and that Logan is a looming threat. That would have sold that more for me, because when we watched the main event, the entire time I'm watching the main event, to me, Logan was an afterthought at that point. So, and by the way, no matter what he and Logan do this Saturday, it's not going to top the match that we got tonight. And as far as I'm concerned, this match was balls to the walls. This was better than I think everybody will believe it had any right to be. Especially for a main event on TV. This match was insanely good. I don't ever want to hear anybody tell me again that Jey Uso can't put on a great match as a champion. He proved that shit tonight. His first title defense, he proved. When he's in the main event with the title on the line and the shit matters, he proved to everybody that nickname ain't just a nickname no more. That was a great first title defense, and you can fight me on it. That is a hill I will unalive on. And as far as I'm concerned, this was spectacular. The selling, the drama, Seth splitting his head open on the announce table bump and still going. I did feel bad when he wiped all his color, TikTok language. He wiped all this color off on Jey's freaking shoes. I was like, those are white. What are you doing? He even reached for Paul's tie at one point and wiped it off on Paul's shirt. And I was like, dude, it's so rude. But man,
I don't think he was supposed to get it on TV or something.
No, but it was. No, they don't have that restriction on Netflix anymore.
An official, by the way,
Tommy. But
shut the freak up.
I thought it was really, really good. It was a lot of fun. Great near falls. There was only one miscommunication, and I think just Jey went to sell to the stomp half a second too early. But it still looked really good on the sell because he tried to spike himself. I thought that Sammy, because I said in the chat that I thought, look, because we were all going, like, they're not going to take it off tonight, right? The only way that this ends has to be by interference, right? So we're spitballing in the chat, and I said, look, I think it's either got to be Gunther, it's got to be freaking Sammy, it's got to be Roman, or it's got to be Punk. I said, or Bron Breakker. I said, there's got to be interference that ends this match, right? And then Toxic said, well, what about Logan? And now that the match is over, I'm thinking, why not Logan? Why didn't he come out there to screw up the match so Seth couldn't jump him in line? And so he could still get one up on Jay live on TV, which brings me to my point of, I'm annoyed they did the angle after they go off air, right? So none of us can see it directly as it's happening. I digress. Great match, great finish, great drama, and it's setting up something for me that I think is going to be very fun. I don't know when we're going to get it, but it looks like we're getting kind of a team up here of Punk, Jay, and Sammy, and potentially Roman at some point, going up against Braun, it's going to be, I think we're building either towards what we could see at Survivor Series later this year. But this is sowing seeds, man. But I'm kind of surprised. We saw Punk. Why didn't Roman come up for his get back yet? I think that'll be, let's wait and see. But all in all, best main event on Monday Night Raw since the steel cage match between Punk and Rollins.
Yeah, that was one of my first thoughts too when the bell rang. It's like, if anyone is going to get a great fucking match out of Jey Uso, it's going to be Seth Rollins. And they fucking did, man. I think Jey Uso shut up a lot of critics tonight saying that, oh, you know, he's not that great in the ring, or, you know, he only has like four moves, or, you know, he's just all gimmick or whatever they say about him.
At this point, I truly believe that, and I'm going to pass my point on after this, but I truly believe at this point, if anybody's got anything negative to say about Jay's in-ring ability, at this point, you're kind of grasping at straws to me. This main event, and that's my personal opinion, that if you're trying to act like he can't wrestle, like he can't put on a great match, it takes two to tango, buddy. Seth can't just go out there and have a match with nobody to be great. He needs a dance partner that can hold his own in that ring and stand on his own 2 feet in there. And it happened to be your motherfucking world heavyweight champion, Jey Uso. And I got four letters, one word.
All right, anyway, moving on to Mr. Toxic.
How you going to ruin a great soundbite?
That wasn't great. Go ahead.
What a fucking main event. I was on my toes. Every single pin, every single move that looked like one of them are done. This amazing completely wipes away Seth and, well, okay, I'll take that back a little bit. I was going to say it completely wiped Seth and Punk in the steel cage, but that was pretty fire. It was pretty fire, too. So, I don't even know what to say. This match is so good. There's a lot of history between the two of them because, remember, they teamed up for 2023 War Games. And I'm like, why would Seth go after his allies for that match for his teammates that were in that match? Sammy and Jay were on his team 2023 War Games, so I found that a little interesting. I just love this match in general. No complaints about it whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm like a huge critic when it comes to the false finishes and, you know, when is it too many false finishes? Tonight, I completely bought into everything that they did in this match. Why? Because Jey Uso is the world heavyweight champion. He tapped out the Beast Gunther. And you also have Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins defeated Roman and CM Punk at WrestleMania. People are going to say, well, he did it, you know, he cheated, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But these are two really strong characters on paper. So I can believe all the kickouts that they did tonight, because it makes sense. These two are really important guys in the roster. They have been built so strongly. I don't know how else to explain it. So everything in this match was just amazing from the beginning to end, I thought, personally. Tommy, Let's hear you.
So, back to the question from earlier. Is Logan even official?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think he was on those five matches that were showed, because it was the two Intercontinental, it was the United States, it was Pat McAfee versus Gunther, and then there was one other. I don't think it was the World Heavyweight title, though.
They kind of teased it, but they haven't made it official yet.
But there were he's right, there were five matches on that promo card.
Yeah, four of them four of them being title matches.
Well, we still have Friday Night SmackDown. They might add a match on SmackDown.
But my thoughts on this, it was a great match. I love the fact that, what's up, Tox?
I think the fifth match you're talking about is Randy and Cena.
Yes, that's what it was. That's what it was. So my thoughts on it is this. I loved the moves that he pulled from Mania as well with Rollins. That spear into the pedigree that he pulled in, like, what, twice? Like, that right there, just how smooth that is just chef's kiss. It's perfect. The one problem is, now that he's done it to both Roman and Jay, is he going to do it to almost everybody who does a spear?
Probably. I don't know.
I mean, he's been doing that move since he feuded with Roman the first time in 2016 and 17.
That is true. Now, Punk coming out, I love the fact that Sammy did as well. My stupid phone decided to activate my Siri when I said Sammy, because of course that happened. But Sammy coming out, I love the fact that he even risked his career coming out there, because he was still bandaged up from the ribs from that bump. So I love the fact that he did that. And then he took that spear from Braun. I'm like, well, is this going to end him for a bit? Are we not going to see Sammy for a bit? Because that's brutal. Already having rib issues and then getting a spear from a Steiner? That's brutal in itself. And then Punk came out with the chair. Yes! Yes, my boy! I love that. Because it works. Honestly, I'm surprised Roman didn't come out. Because, you know, that happened with him too. So I'm surprised that Roman Reigns didn't come out, but Punk did. But he's probably going to be out for a bit. Probably not as long as last year's Mania, as he was with that. But he's still probably going to take a little bit more of a break here. But the match, we've already said this. This is a premium live event caliber match that you are having on a quote-unquote free TV Raw. Because it's not free, but the point here still stands. You're still having a premium live event style match on the Raw. And yeah, as Michael Cole said, this is the first time in 7 months that the World Heavyweight title has been put on the line on the Raw.
Wow, that's a long time.
Because, of course, it's Jay. He's going to end up being a fighting champion, because, of course, he will.
Yeah, but when it comes to Roman Reigns, like, I'm not surprised he didn't show up. I think Roman Reigns, he tends to show up unexpectedly in, like, more important situations. Like, last time Roman Reigns showed up, where was it? It was in a cage match, and I can't remember what show it was. Blood, I think you called this one. Do you remember?
I called it, but he did show up the Raw after Mania to help Punk, because it went off air with them staring at each other from across the ring, when Seth got over on him again.
Was it after Mania last year?
It was Raw after Mania, brother. That was the last time we saw Roman.
That was a year ago. Holy shit. Okay.
No, Raw after Mania this year, brother.
Raw after Mania this year?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
No. There was another time where Roman Reigns showed up and attacked.
Yeah, you said he only shows up on important stuff. The last time we saw him was the steel cage match. The last time we saw him for something important was when he tried to jump.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes, the time before that was the steel cage match when he yanked Rollins out of a ring. It was a surprise attack for a massive pop in the main event.
Got you. So, yeah, I think, you know, for a moment like that, I think it'd be better. We didn't need Roman tonight. The main event tonight was great, was even better when CM Punk showed up. Like, the last thing in my mind right now is Roman Reigns. Honestly, like, this Monday Night Raw was good without him.
I popped huge, so.
Yeah, I bet you did. BT, what about you?
Roman is always the last thing on your mind, Oos. Shut
Tommy,
up.
Stop interrupting.
It's all right. Leave Tommy alone. Go ahead, BT.
I fucking hate Roman. I hate him. And here's the reason why. There is a pattern that has been going on the past couple of years. Roman lost the Universal title to Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania 40. How long did it take for Roman to come back to save not only Jimmy, but not only Jay, but even his wise man? How long did it take him? At least a good 4 to 5 months. Right? Roman's took in a loss at WrestleMania 41. His wise man betrays him, right? His next scheduled appearance is at Money in the Bank, which is why he didn't come back tonight. And that makes me think, does getting revenge on Seth and the wise man, preparing for that, does getting mentally prepared for that mean more to you than helping your own family? Because you are stuck on a fucking yacht, mentally preparing yourself, trying to find your inner peace, trying to get over the fact that your wise man had fun playing with your balls at WrestleMania 41. No pause, because that's exactly what happened. And yet your cousin is the world champion, right? You expect every single member of your bloodline, of your OG bloodline, to help you when you're in crisis, but you don't have the balls to help them. How much of a hypocrite does that make you? He is the biggest star, without a shadow of a doubt, but his ego is his weakness. And I really hope that Seth, Paul, and Bron hold on to that. They pull on that a lot more in this story. I really hope they do. Because I may be the only person that sees it, but Roman will be exposed for the hypocrite he is. Believe that.
Damn, I don't even hate Roman that much, but...
Well, I mean, to your credit, though, he was exposed at Mania. That's why he lost his ego, is what got him screwed over. So he has faced his comeuppance. His ego with Paul is what blinded him to thinking that Paul would betray him. The moment Paul smiled in his face and he turned his back and he ate that crotch hit and then he ate a steel chair again, His ego has always been the thing that screws him in the end. That's why he can't beat Seth. His ego.
Well, let's talk about Austin Theory, because it looks like they're finally going to be using him and that whole storyline that they've been teasing with Grayson Waller. Are they going to turn on each other? When is this going to happen? It looks like this is a start, the beginning of that storyline finally being used on TV. Grayson Waller was begging for a singles match. He got it. When he found out who his opponent was going to be, he decided, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. Austin, let me do you a favor. You want a singles match? Sure. All right, you can have my spot. Then later on, Austin found out who his opponent was going to be. Sheamo, good old Sheamus, is back. Austin Theory was not happy about that. Grayson Waller has played Austin Theory. And I'm just glad that they're finally doing something with this, man. Even though, like, this was just a match, like, kind of like in the undercard, one of those filler matches tonight, it was a win-win situation. You get to see Sheamus come back. He got a win. Sheamus is looking better than ever. And you're also telling the story with Austin Theory and Grayson Waller at the same time. So everything here makes perfect sense here in this match. I really enjoyed it. Austin Theory looked really good, even though he lost. Sheamus is looking really good. Toxic, what did you think about this match, if anything?
Not really too interested in this match, because it was just too random for me. I wasn't expecting Sheamus. If anything, Mr. Blood's the one who made me think Bronson Reed is coming back. That would be a hell of a lot and more entertaining, but I'm still glad that Sheamus is back. Just one thing I wish he would get before he decides to go on another mini retirement is this thing. For those of you that are listening after this, it's the Intercontinental Championship. I feel like he beats Dom. I feel like he's the one that dethrones Dom. I don't know how. I just feel like he will before he goes on another mini retirement. And Sheamus really needs to stop taking those, because I'm tired of unexpected return from him.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't enjoy them. I do enjoy them a lot. But he just needs to stop taking mini retirements.
Tommy, go for it, dude.
Honestly, I loved it. But my main thing is this. This should have happened months ago. Split A Town Down Under. It is obvious here that Waller is the worst man to tag with ever. And that's saying something, because there have been some bad tag team members. But still, these two need to be split up, because I'm sick and tired of these two still being a tag team when Theory is the one that takes everything. Even in the match itself, when Sheamus jumped off of the top turnbuckle, what did Waller do? He backed away. Right behind the Prime Hydration Station, as they're calling it. He immediately backs away. Didn't do anything, didn't stand there to try and take it for Theory. No, he just backs away. That should not happen. These two need to be broken up. Theory's the one that takes absolutely everything, including an opponent that, as soon as Waller found out who it was, he said no. And then when asked, hey, okay, I will take this, who's my opponent going to be? I think it's best as a surprise. What? I almost named everyone except Sheamus, including thought that Bron Breakker was going to decide to go in. Because, yeah, spear that man. But still, these two need to be split up. And my brain is focusing immediately on that because it's something that the entire fandom has agreed on for months. And that should have happened months ago. They were already hinting at it so long ago, and then they never pulled the trigger on it. It needs to happen.
Well, I think it is. I think it is. I think they were just maybe just saving it for when the time is right, or, you know, when they need the storyline. All right, we're gonna start building, putting seeds out for the storyline, and then, you know, when we're ready, or, you know, when we need it, we'll just pull that out of our asses or something. I don't know. But it looks like they're finally going to do something with this storyline. BT, you're up.
As much as I love Sheamus, I did not watch this match because I was not fucking interested in it. But I saw that Sheamus got the win, and I'm very happy for that. But I totally agree with Tommy. Austin Theory and Grayson Waller need to be split up. I think Grayson Waller, as much as Austin Theory was always booked as the biggest star, Grayson Waller is the biggest star compared to Austin Theory, without a shadow of a doubt. Yes, Austin Theory has the in-ring ability, but so does Grayson Waller. And I think a lot of people miss that about Grayson Waller as well. He's not just egotistical. He's very fucking talented when he gets in that ring. But yeah, I think Grayson Waller will definitely be the big dog shit diabolical heel. And Austin Theory, I think, will do at least okay as a babyface. I still have yet to see that, but my hopes are high. As it pertains to the match, even though I didn't see it, but Sheamus got the victory, so good on you, mate. Now, so it's on to the IC title.
So that has nothing to do with the fact that he's also Australian, that you think Grayson Waller is really talented, right?
No, it's not just that. No, of course not.
Fair enough. Mr. Blood, you're up.
I said this before. I said it in the chat. I'll say it again, but I'll elaborate on what Tommy said, because we all kind of were very like-minded on this. They should have broken these guys up a year ago when they were planting seeds with babyface DIY, specifically Johnny Gargano, trying to get Austin Theory out from underneath the shadow of Grayson Waller's, you know, heelish tendencies and selfishness. They were literally cutting every week for like a month. They were like, Austin, he's using you. Who took that spear? He pushed you in the way. I remember they kept showing us all the replays of how Grayson was purposefully using Austin as a human shield. Like, and then they just randomly are off TV and that whole plot gets dropped randomly. I don't know why they did that. It feels like, if I remember correctly, they did that near around the time. I can't even pinpoint when they just randomly dropped it. But they've been together for like 2 years now, right? So, because they won the tag titles at 39, if I remember correctly. Was it 39 or?
I think it was 39.
It was 39?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
The ladder match, right?
Yeah,
it was the I think 6 or 8 team ladder match when the Judgment Day, Damian Priest and Finn Balor were the undisputed tag team champions. Grayson Waller and Austin Theory took the SmackDown tag team titles, and Miz and R-Truth took the Raw titles at Mania 40.
Yeah,
Are you sure that was last year?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, 100%. Okay. So, I think that sounds, yeah.
All right, so, but they've been together for well over at least a year and a half already. They've been together for a minute. They've been teasing the breakups for a year. And for me, it just comes down to, I think Austin has the potential to be a massive babyface because he's like a John Cena disciple. He has that about him. And if people remember correctly, back when they were doing those angles to split them, they were, Austin was getting massive reactions. He was getting cheers. They were chanting for him to stand up for himself. That tells me that the crowd would get behind him. And for the last many weeks, we've been seeing babyface tendencies for him. Yeah, but Jey Uso fan. And then he starts yeeting. And then he does funny stuff against what Grayson does. And Grayson will walk away from him like he's the idiot. You know what I mean? And it's like, I can see this split happening, but it's got to be within the next couple. Like, let's get this ball rolling. To that effect, I thought that the match was great. I thought that I was more interested in what was going on with Grayson and Theory in this match, because every time Grayson, you know, he couldn't keep his eyes on Austin. He would look away. He looked disappointed. He looked like he was ashamed that Austin was getting beat up, even though it was his fault. He would look away. And when Sheamus was setting Austin up for the 10 beats of the bar run, literally when Austin's crawling under the rope to get set up, he looks at Grayson and goes, "Why would you do this to me?" And Grayson goes, "Oh, I don't know what's going on, mate. I don't know what happened." And he turns around and looks away from him and just won't even look him in the eyes. I think Grayson's got the potential to be a mass appeal. I genuinely believe the reason they put these two together is because Austin is the better in-ring competitor and Grayson is the better talker. And I think they put them together so they can balance out each other's strengths and weaknesses. And it shows, because they both have star potential. But Grayson has way more charisma, but Austin has way better in-ring ability and a better look. So I think that we need this breakup so we can get that babyface versus heel dynamic, something fresh, something new, something that I think the fans will really get behind. But I love seeing Sheamus come back. I've said a million times, he's in the twilight of his career, but Sheamus is one of the GOATs. I remember the night he fucking debuted in 09. And I remember how big of a deal he was. But he is the best he's ever been, in my opinion. The last 3-4 years of his career have been the entire best of his entire career. At least with WWE, he's done the best work possible. I thought this match was fun. No one's brought up the fact that this also got "This is awesome" chance at one point. Okay? Think about that. Sheamus can come back and just put on a banger. You know what I'm saying? That's why he's so good. He can just come back and put on fucking banger after banger after banger. You know what I'm saying? Speaking of which, where the fuck is Pete Dunne? I just realized I haven't seen Pete Dunne in like 4 months. Other than that, I love...